the amount of work that created for us in a good way. The party's profile is much higher. We're getting a lot more requests. We're helping different places, getting a lot more interaction with the public. And that's a good thing. That was one of the main reasons I wanted to have Trump, was to just build the party. And that's been very effective. One of the things that we're working on is our Restore America campaign, which I don't know if you're familiar with that at all, but it's a campaign we're rolling out where the state party is going to get involved in national races. So we have a federal account and we have a state account. And the state account, that money is spent on state candidates. Our federal account, well, let's be honest, here in Alabama, we don't have federal races that are going to go Democrat. We really don't need to be spending our money in the state. So my vision with that is we're going to get involved in swing districts and swing states around the country. We mentioned last month, you heard that we were going to have the Strike Force was going to be in Virginia. They actually just got back. They were in Virginia, had about 25 volunteers from the state of Alabama up there door knocking for a governor candidate. What's his name?
Whitakin or Whitakin?
Youngkin.
That's it. Youngkin. Yes, ma'am. So it's an internal polling, and I believe it was released this morning, has that race 50-50.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it will be very, very impressive if the Republican Party can take back Virginia and in a midterm and really be a good sign for what's coming in 2022. So we were excited to be part of that. We're still working with that. We're also still very much planning for other races in 2022. If any of you are interested in taking part, either volunteering, donating, the most terrible job of the chairman is asking for money. But if you are interested in being part of that at all, either in state or out of state, always welcome volunteers. Also, always welcome ideas. You know, I appreciate all of you being here, because for me, when I look at this room, I see family. Because I know you're not here for fun. You're here for the same reason I am, and that's because you care about and you love this country. So I don't want to keep you too long, but I do want to say thank you for being involved. Thank you for taking your time being part of the Republican Party. It's an honor to serve with you, and I'm enjoying being your chairman. So thank you very much. I will take quick questions, just quick, if any of you have any questions for me. No questions. I always say, if you don't get any questions, it either means you did such a good speech, people don't have to ask you questions, or you're so bad they want to get rid of you. Thank you so much.
What I've seen out of him has been very impressive, and I think he's doing a good job of leading our state party.
Let me say something quick. You reminded me of something. I need to recognize a couple people in this room. One is your chairman. Jerry is great. I just so enjoyed getting to work with him over the years, and he does a great job. And your newly elected state senator, she is tremendous, and I'm so excited about having the only
female senator.
We're going to call her a lady. The only lady in the state senate, and she wears
I would say people in this room would probably
the only Republican lady. We're so excited to have her, just the voice she brings.
And you should note that she is the first state senator from Bibb County in 30 years. Mm. 30 years.
And Limestone County wants that too. My home county, we're jealous. Because we were in a similar situation. We haven't had one in a long time either. No, that is really exciting. And just, we're so excited about the leadership she brings. And we're really glad to have her. So, and we also like John Merrill. He's all right, too.
I think this John is doing us a very good job with the state party. And I will have to say, not only the state Republican Party, but also out of the Secretary of State's office, I don't think anybody could question our elections. Now, they have changed machines since I was there, but the company that we use, I think, is as much above board, and if we had them nationwide, we'd have a different president today, but I think John has done an excellent job in the Secretary of State's office, and I ain't going to build him up no more. He'll get to where he can't get out the door. But with that being said, I've known John a long time. I can give him a hard time. I'm going to turn it over to our Secretary of State, John Merrill.
Thank you, Judge. You know, actually, when he was the mayor down here, we went to Washington together. I put a fly-in together for the Chamber of Commerce back in 1988, and we spent a week together in D.C., and that was the first time we'd ever spent any real close time together, and it was tremendous. We had a great situation. And Mike McWaters was the economic development guy here, if anybody remembers him. Now he's down in Florida doing some work with co-ops. That's what he does now. And that's been, man alive, 35 years ago. Such a long time. Look, whenever I'm here, it's just like me being at home, because I'm 30 minutes from my house, where we are here. And I always enjoy being with my friends from Bibb County, but especially to be at the sawmill for a lot of different reasons. But when you live on the southern end of Tuscaloosa County, it makes it a lot easier when you're coming from Montgomery to get to the house. And I was excited to be able to get this on the calendar so I can come and talk to y'all for just a few minutes. Really what I'd like to do, I want to tell you a little bit about what we've done since the election's been over, but I want to answer some questions that you might have about some things that may be of interest to you at the state level or the national level regarding elections and election integrity. Now, I want to make sure that everybody got a copy of our legislative accomplishments from 2021 and that everybody got a copy of our annual report from 2020. I had a couple of people say something about the cover. And when I first gave these out in DeKalb County earlier this year, I saw about five of them on a table in a restaurant similar to this that were turned over like that. And I was like, man, somebody spilled coffee on the dock. And so I went around, I picked up about four of them, and I picked them all up. None of them were soiled. And I realized nobody wanted to see Joe Biden. They didn't have to turn over, and that was the reason for that. So, but I will say this, Charles' brother-in-law is on the inside front cover, and he just left us just about 3 weeks ago. Lee Allen home, right there. A bunch of y'all knew Lee Allen. He's from East Tuscaloosa County up in Brookwood area. But 95-year-old, he was our license commissioner and a close, dear friend of mine, as they can tell you. But wanted to make sure that I shared that too. And the last thing about the book is on page 3. If you don't have my cell phone number, there's a photocopy of my business card there. And you can call me on my cell phone number, which is printed on that card, anytime you need me. Now, if you know anything about our office, you know that we have made a concerted effort since I've been the Secretary of State, which is 6 years, 9 months, and 2 days today, to ensure that each and every eligible U.S. citizen that's a resident of this state would have the opportunity to be a registered voter and obtain a photo ID. And since January the 19th of 2015, as of today, we've registered 1,929,751 new voters as of today. We now have 3,609,022 registered voters as of today. But one of the things that Keith loves to hear me say when I introduce that is that in that same period of time, we've removed more than 1.35 million people from the voter rolls. And we removed them because they moved away, they passed away, or they've been put away. So you need to know that, because voter roll maintenance and what Ms. Pat and them do every day is the most important part of the election administration process, is adding people to the voter rolls and making sure the ones that are not supposed to be there are removed. Now, we've been recognized around the nation by three different national entities as having the most secure, the safest, the most effective, efficient, and accountable election in the United States of all 50 states. For the first time in the history of our state. And I get all the credit for that. But I don't deserve all the credit for that. The credit goes to our 68 probate judges in our 67 counties, our 68 circuit clerks in our 67 counties, our 67 sheriffs, our 201 registrars, our thousands of poll workers at our 1,980 polling sites in the state. And I think it's important for you to know that, to recognize those people and to give them credit for what credit is due, because of the training that takes place, because Alabama is a bottom-up system related to election administration. It starts in the field.
It starts in each one of those local communities, in each one of those counties, in the 53 rural counties, the 14 urban counties that we have, to make sure that people are properly trained and prepared for a successful administration of the election. Now, after the election was over, the 4th, the 5th, the 6th of November, you could see all the unrest that was going on around the nation. People were very concerned. One of the things that I thought was incumbent on me to do as a national president for the Republican Secretary of State was to let our colleagues, let me introduce best practices in election administration that they were currently using in their states, where election law had been codified and they were having success. So I asked the 28 Republican secretaries, please give me 3 to 5 best practice administrative procedures that you use in your state so we can share those around the country with Democratic states, Republican-controlled states. What I didn't realize was at the national level, there were people doing that in the Congress, there were people doing that in the United States Senate, there were people doing that in the Republican National Committee. So there were a lot of different groups that were doing it. So Ron McDowell, who is the national chair, like John is for our state, for the United States, had asked Karl Rove if he would lead an effort to create a commission on election integrity. And Karl is very astute, as y'all all know, and always willing to help and support groups. But he told her, he said, I'll be happy to help with this, but Judge, I'm not going to be the one to head it up. He said, the one that needs to head this up nationally is John Merrill, who's the Secretary of State in Alabama. Well, I was thrilled that he even knew my name, Tom, but I was excited that he wanted me to be the one to head it up. So I got 4 other secretaries, one from Florida, Laurel Lee, one from Tennessee, Trey Harvin, one from Kentucky, Michael Adams, and Secretary from Washington State, Kim Wyman, who's the only Republican secretary elected on the entire West Coast, to be a part of our team to do what we needed to do. We also had 50 legislators, and if Senator Weaver had been back in the legislature at the time, I would have gotten her to be one of those, but she went to a different path. She was trying to come back at that time, and it just wasn't where it needed to be. But nevertheless, we were able to have those 50 legislators help us. We came up with 18 different pieces of legislation that have been codified in different states around the Union that we've shared with all 50 states. And several of those were adopted by Georgia, by Iowa, by Michigan, by Pennsylvania, by Texas, adopted to improve their election administration. But we had 5 basic pillars of support in that area. Number one, to empower our states. That is, Judge, to make sure that everyone understands that elections are left up to the states according to the 10th Amendment. It's not codified in the Constitution or the U.S. Code about how elections should be run at the local level. That should never be introduced that way. Number two, we want to ensure that we have safe, secure, fair elections, starting with the voter rolls. And we believe that only U.S. citizens should be registered to vote.
Yes.
And we believe that those U.S. citizens should be residents of those states. And it should be understood that they should participate in any election they want to, following the path that they want to follow according to their state laws. Number three, we believe the gold standard for election administration is in-person voting on election day. And you'll be pleased to know, if you didn't already know it, that Alabama led the nation in-person voting on election day in the United States. 87% of the people that voted in our state voted in person on election day, led the nation. You also should know that we believe that when you vote in person on election day, you should have a qualified government-issued photo ID. That is a bill that Senator Weaver and I helped pass as co-sponsors back in 2011 when we were both members of the Alabama House of Representatives. And so we believe that needs to be adopted by every state. Number four, in the area of vote by mail. If you have vote by mail in your state, and we do through the absentee process, But if you have universal vote by mail or some other component, we believe that a qualified government-issued photo ID should, a copy of it, should accompany the ballot when it's returned. We don't think that's asking too much, because election integrity is the most important thing that we have in the administration of the election. Number five, we believe that it's an election day. Not election week. Well, you hear me? Not election month. Not election season. It's an election day. And at 7 p.m., the polls close. No other ballots come in. No other ballots are counted. You know, we have provisionals that have to be reviewed and things like that. We're talking about real ballots coming in. All provisionals come in prior to 7 p.m. on election day. So we need to understand that. And you need to know that we had all our results in by 10:30 on election day. Now, some people will say, well, you only have 5 million people in your state. So sure, you got it done. Well, let me tell you something. Within 45 minutes after we had ours done, Florida had theirs done. Florida is the third largest state in the union, third behind California and Texas, and then Florida. So my point is, if Florida can do it, anybody can do it. So we need to get on board and begin to push that narrative. Now, if you got some questions for me, I want to entertain them. And if you would rather ask them when we're done, you can do that. And if you want to just call me privately, you got my cell phone number if you didn't already have it. So, do we have any questions? Be about anything. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Got one. Is it possible? I think I read this. I can't read some. I read that you can be a citizen of a state and not be a citizen of the United States. Is that?
Well, that is true. You see that in California is a great example. Let me say something to you about California, too. Anybody in here know who a guy named Alex Padilla is?
Padilla. Okay,
so Alex Padilla is a good friend of mine. And he's a friend of Cindy's, too, my wife. But he's a good friend of mine. We met in December of 2014. We were both elected secretary at the same time. Alabama for me, California for him. Alex and I don't share much in common as far as philosophy of politics is concerned. But we both love our families, we both love athletics, we both love American history. We have a lot of common interests, and so we love to spend time with each other. We both testified before Congress the first time that either one of us were invited to testify before Congress against each other. He testified from the Democrat perspective, I testified from the Republican perspective there in D.C. But the next person that Alex removes from the voter rolls in California will be the first. Okay? Now, Alex today is no longer the Secretary of State in California. Does anybody know why? Because in January, Alex was appointed by Governor Gavin Newsom to be the newest member of the United States Senate. He took Kamala Harris's seat when she was sworn in to be Vice President. Now, why is that important? And why should you care? First of all, I believe personally, and Alex has not told me this, but I believe that Alex is going to run for president in 2028. And I believe that before very long, within the next couple of years, the national media is going to embrace Alex because he is a Hispanic. He's the first Hispanic ever elected to the United States Senate. He's also the first Hispanic to ever win statewide office in California. And Alex, he's running for re-election to a full term this time in 2022. But Alex, because of his previous role as a secretary, and he's not the only former Secretary of State in the U.S. Senate. Sherrod Brown from Ohio is. Roy Blunt from Missouri is. He's a Republican. Joe Manchin, who you all know his name, is in West Virginia. So there's a few others. But Alex is the most current former Secretary of State. Now, why is that important? It's important because one of the things that you'll see, and April can vouch for this as a member of the Alabama legislature, when you become a member of a legislative body, Alabama House, Alabama Senate, the U.S. Congress, the U.S. Senate, you gravitate toward those people who are experts in their chosen vocation and profession when an issue comes up related to that. For example, if I had healthcare issues or concerns when we were in the house together, the first person I'd go to every time, April Weaver, because of her background as a nurse, as an administrator, her husband's a doctor. I know they know what they're talking about. I rely on them. The same thing happens when you get at different levels like that. So they rely on Alex for guidance and leadership. So when he starts telling them, look, we don't need to be worried about moving people from row to row. We don't need to be worried about letting non-citizens vote. If you breathe in the same air we're breathing, you need to vote. Well, let me ask you something. Are you going to let the people that go to Centerville Baptist Church preach at Centerville Methodist Church? Are you going to let the people that are members of the Democratic Party come in here and elect your chairman? Are you going to let the Lions Club pick the JC's president? Of course not. You wouldn't even think about that. So why are we going to let people that are not citizens of your state or of the United States pick our elected official?
Yes.
Do you hear what I'm saying?
Right.
So we need to be wise about that. Any other questions? Yes, sir.
John, I know that you had a visit this year. I don't know exactly how long ago. From the
second one was yesterday.
Well, I'm talking about the Lindale train. Is that the same one you're talking about?
Okay. Yes, sir.
I know they've been here, and I know their publicity said that they found some things that they recommended be changed. Can you talk about that?
And I'd love to talk about that.
All right.
I'm going to tell you a little story about it, and then I'm going to tell you about the results of the two meetings, the most recent one was yesterday.
Okay.
So on August 21st, 2021, I was at the same place that Jerry was at, several other people in this room was at, that John organized, which was Coleman, Alabama. We went there to see the president. So I'm in the VIP tent, and all of a sudden, I hear some people like moving around, rumbling, and kind of moving toward the front of the tent. And I'm like, what's going on? Because you've all been in that environment before and seen that. And I looked over and I said, my goodness, is my fellow. And it was Michael Lindell. And so all these people coming up, hugging him, grabbing him, won't have a picture made, shake his hand. So that went on for about 20, 25 minutes. And so I turned to a friend of mine named Charles Knight, who April knows well, John knows. There's other people in here that have seen Charles and would know him. And I said, Charles, I want you to take my phone, but I want you to take some pictures for me. I said, I don't want pose shots like I give them in the pad every time I'm with her. I said, I want you to take some pictures of Mike Lindell's response to what I'm about to tell him. And he said, okay. So I went up to him and I said, Mr. Lindell, my name is John Merrill. I said, I'm the Secretary of State in Alabama. And he said, it's nice to meet you. I said, well, it's an honor to meet you. I said, I want to share this with you. I said, I think that you are to be admired because you are the true American success story. You've taken a business from nothing and you've made it into a multi-billion dollar operation. And I said, you are the true Horatio Alger story in our nation. And I said, you're to be commended for that. And I want you to know it's an honor for me to meet you. But I've got a problem with some things that you're sharing about our election. And especially because you mentioned my state. And he said, well, you know, the Dominion machines that y'all use in your state have been proven to incorrectly measure the numbers. And I said, well, we don't use Dominion machines. And he said, what do you use? I said, ESNX, election system software, like Judge was talking about, and like the judge uses every day. And he said, well, you know, those machines have been proven to have problems too because of the modem component that's there on the transfer of data. And I said, no, sir, not in Alabama. I said, you see, all the machines that we have in our state have all been introduced to our state since I've been Secretary of State. And I had them all custom built. When we created the RFP, the request for proposal, I had my elections team make sure that it was clearly defined. We did not want a modem component, no capability for electronic transfer of data through a landline or a cell phone. And he said, well, he said, you know, well, there's other ways to manipulate the machine. And I said, well, I'm not sure what you're talking about, but I've never had any of those things introduced to me. And I said, matter of fact, let me share something with you that you wouldn't have any other way to know. I said, I have a top secret security clearance from the Department of Homeland Security, Central Intelligence Agency, and the Federal Bureau of Investigation because of my job. And I said, if something had happened in our state that had involved domestic or foreign actors, I'm sure one of those three entities would have introduced that information to me, because they have before when we've been probed, when other things have happened with our voter registration system, and they told us to be on alert. And he said, well, we know some things that they don't know. I said, Ms. Lindell, did you just tell me that you know some things that DHS, the CIA, and the FBI don't know? And he said, yes. And I said, Ms. Lindell, I said, let me share this with you. I said, I know you think you're right, okay? But the difference between you and me is I know I'm right. And I said, and I'll tell you this. If you can prove that any numbers were inconsistent, irregularities, or general problems were introduced in our state, I'll resign my job tomorrow. Tomorrow. And I said, this is the only source of income I have for my family. But if you can't prove it, then in good conscience, in good faith, I expect you to reciprocate. So I would want you to sign a legally binding agreement with me that would say that you will give me at least 1 year of your salary as a CEO of MyPillow if you can't prove it. And he said, well, now we got some other things we want to show you that we want to introduce to. Okay? And I said, look, if you want to come to Alabama, I'd love to have you come to Alabama. I'd love to show you everything we do. I'd take you to a county, let you see how they administer the election, take you to Montgomery, show you whatever you want to see. So he came about a month ago, came back yesterday. We met for 7 hours, and he has yet to show me one thing that he would consider evidence. But the charges that are being made by these people, who, in my opinion, are irrational. Now, I'm not saying Mike Lindell necessarily is irrational, but the charges that are being made are charges that will say this. Keith Burke, we know you killed that man. Prove you did not. Now, of course, nobody saw him. Anybody that didn't, he paid them off. Okay? But this is what we know. In order to do that in this country, that's not how it works. How it works in this country is you are innocent until proven guilty. So if you make a charge on someone, it's incumbent on the prosecutor or the one making the charge to show where you are culpable or you are guilty, or there has been something done that's wrong. They've not been able to do that. One of the things the first started showing us yesterday at the meeting was this. He said, we got a concern. He said, we got all of these places where there's different people with different names that live in the same location. And so they focused in on a map. He said, like this one in Etowah County. He said, someplace up here near a town called Gadsden, there's a home that says Big O Boys Ranch. And he said, and you all going to laugh because you all know. Just like we all knew. And so he started talking and he said, yeah, it's Big O Boys Ranch, but there's 32 people that are registered to vote there. And he said, and half of them are women. And he said, how is that possible? And I said, they showed the names of some of the people. I said, Mike, I know three of the people that are on that list personally. I know them. And the only names I could see because they were going fast, I saw John Kroll. I saw Reagan, his daughter. I saw Brody. I didn't see Brody's wife. And I didn't see John David Phillips, Reagan's husband. And I didn't see T, John's wife. But I know they were there. And I'm like, he said, it can't be that many people living there at the boys' ranch. I said, well, first of all, it's not a boys' ranch. It's a boys' and girls' ranch. And they call it the Big Oak Ranch now. And I said, but there's more than 200 people that live there. And I said, and Mike Reddit was there representing Senator Tuberville. And I said, Mike's been there, and he knows the same people I know. And furthermore, my wife is on the auxiliary board for the Big Old Ranch. So I know. And he said, well, what about this one? Well, it was an apartment complex in Tuscaloosa. How many of those are there? Lord have mercy. You know, and so every time he was showing one, we were easily refuting what they were introducing without question and no research involved. Just looking at it and saying, that's wrong, and it's wrong because of this. So that's the thing that they're not getting. And then they're talking about having the equipment compromised, and it really does not make any sense. So, you know, I've been very patient. I've been very professional. I've represented ourselves and our state in a way that you would if you had been in that room, which is what you would want me to do. And we are making sure that they understand that we want to welcome them to Alabama because they think they're helping. But I told them yesterday, I said, Mike, I'll meet with you when you come back. But the next time you come back, you're going to need to bring some empirical data before we meet. Because this is the second time we met. We met for a total of 7 hours, and they have not introduced anything yet that would show a concern. And especially when none of our equipment is connected to the internet at all. And you don't tell them that votes have been flipped, because there's no way to do that. You can't even program the machines that way without someone knowing it. She tests every piece of equipment that goes out to every site in every community in this county. Every time. And so if you're in Eagle Line, if you're in Centerville, if you're in Brent, if you're in Randolph, if you're in Lawley, it does not matter where you are. She has them all taken care of, just like he did before her. I'm just telling you, you have to have an understanding of what you're talking about, what you're dealing with.
Well, we all know that, and we know the kind of job that they've done, these people you've named, as well as the rest of the judges across the state.
Yes, sir.
Lindell needs to be holding you up as an example for the other 49 states to emulate, and he needs to leave here with an intention to do that.
But like my wife said today when I was talking to her, and I told her about the meeting yesterday, but we talked about it again this morning. And she said, but John, part of the problem is he's so invested in what he has done. He spent $15 million of his own money. And it's hard for him to say, I'm wrong. But you're going to reach a point, just like Joe McCarthy reached in the Red Scare hearings in the 1950s in the Congress, where somebody like Martha Chase Smith is going to sit up in her seat in the Senate and say, have you no decency? Do you not realize there is nothing there? You're going to have to acknowledge that because it's so obvious to everybody. But he hasn't reached that point yet.
Well, maybe if the Republican Party of Alabama and all of the other chapters like us that know what's going on in our elections would take some affirmative action to communicate with Mr.
Yes.
Lindell that you didn't find anything here.
Yes.
You went away empty-handed. Now turn around and tell the country that.
Yes, sir.
I think that's what this organization is capable of doing.
You're kind, and I will tell you, I know that y'all understand, and I know that y'all have confidence in what we've done, and it makes me proud to know that we're where we are. But we're just going to have to let this run a little while longer just to see what ends up coming from it. But, you know, that's where we are today. Any other questions for me before I sit down and turn it over to the best-looking speaker tonight?
We have, through the state of Alabama, is all paper ballots.
We do. We have paper ballots in every one of our polling sites, and we retain those paper ballots for at least 2 years after every election. So if we ever needed to go back and check a race or check a couple of races, we can do that. You know, and I'll tell you this, too. It's funny because one of the things he said yesterday, it was reported to me, he said this on the media, that we don't need to use machines anymore. Now, some of y'all are old enough to remember when we used a different kind of machine than we use now with Scantron. Some of you remember the lever machines that we used to have. I remember those. My daddy was a circuit clerk and a probate judge in my county where I grew up. But I will tell you, I've observed what it is to vote at a national level without machines. And I did that in September of 2016. And you know where I was? I was in Russia. And I was an election observer there for 2 weeks for their national elections. I was invited to do that. I was the highest ranking U.S. official that was on that team. We had 400 people from the United States that went over there and observed as a part of a group that was about 1,200 people that were observing Russian elections. And I'll tell you how it worked. You came in a room like this, and they had a big trash can like the one that you have at your house where the garbage was picked up, except it was clear, so you could see through it. It had a hole in the top of it, and there was nothing in there. But then people would come in with their ballot. When they get it, after they checked in with their ID in Russia, and then they would mark their ballot, and then they would take their ballot and they'd put it in that trash can, then drop down to the bottom. You could see everything that was in there. At the end of the day, and I was there when the poll was open, I was there when the poll was closed. And at the end of the day, they took that canister and they turned it upside down and dumped out all the ballots on the floor. And then they went around separating and counting them race by race. And then they count them again for the next race and the next race. They actually even used a DS-200 like we use. And when they got through using the DS-200, the Scantron like we use, they took all those ballots and then hand counted them too, even though they already had a report from what they'd done. Now, let me say this. You think that it'd be easier to find fraudulent votes by hand counting or by using the machine? Because I will tell you that when you use the machine in 2010, when Governor Bentley, Tim James, and Bradley Byrne were running for governor, at the end of the primary, Tim James was behind Robert Bentley by 167 votes. 167 votes out of all those 100,000 votes that were cast. And he said, I believe that there was something wrong and that I should have made the runoff instead of Benton. So he paid $1 million to have the votes recounted. Because you can't do that in the primary. Somebody has to do it. Somebody has to pay it to be done. They went back and recounted them all over the state. When the recount was done, he lost by 168 votes instead of 167. So what does that tell you? Any other questions for me?
That might have been our Bibb County vote. We came out one vote different before we did that recount. That's the first time I heard that.
Yes, sir. Thank y'all.
How do you check those machines?
Well, the machine.
You make sure those machines cannot go on the internet.
No, they can't.
They're not hooked up to anything.
We don't.
Well, I mean, every state that they say that.
Now, in every state, it's not that way. Every state's not that way.
They're saying that you can't do it, but then somebody.
That's right. So every state is not that way. Some states do have their machines connected to the internet, and they do transmit data from a location to another one through the internet, but not in Alabama. And so, you know, one thing Lindell asked me yesterday, he said, "Well, do you believe that the election was stolen?" And I said, not in Alabama. He said, I'm just talking about across the nation. I said, I do believe and know this. There were irregularities, inconsistencies that occurred in other states in the union. That's been documented. I have colleagues where I know they had problems in their state, but not in Alabama. And so, I'm only in charge of Alabama. And so, I know what happened in Alabama, but I can't speak to all the other states. Now, because I know what happened, that's why we help pass laws to get things changed. And I tell people, look, we are a nation of laws. We are a nation of courts. We are a nation of system actions that have to be taken if you want to change the process. People have asked me, will we have an audit in Alabama? No, we will not. There's a reason for that. I said, well, what's the reason? Because it's against the law. They said, well, it's against the law. Well, show me in the code where it says it's against the law. I said, well, it doesn't say it's against the law. They said, well, why can't you do it? I said, well, you know what you remind me of? What? I said, you remind me of those people that were wearing me out in the summer and the fall of 2020 that said, we need curbside voting in Alabama. Curbside voting? Yeah, you know, when you pull up in front of the sawmill and you blow your horn, and somebody brings you a ballot outside, and then you can vote in your car. Curbside voting. They said, we're not for that. I said, well, that's against the law. I said, you can't be against the law when it's curbside voting and be okay with it when it's auditing. It's either against the law or it's not against the law. I said, so what did we do? Well, we passed the law to say that it's against the law to have curbside voting. And I still got sued, and it went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. Had two cases that went to the U.S. Supreme Court last year. Two against me. I've been sued 23 times as your secretary. 23 and 0. Roll tackle. But you need to know this. I know everybody in this room has cussed John Roberts, right up close, cussed John Roberts at least one time. But John Roberts voted for us both times. And the one you really need to give thanks for is Clarence Thomas. Because he chose to take our case to the court. Because of the way the circuits are divided in the Supreme Court, the 11th goes to Justice Thomas. So you need to know that. But you also need to know this. I had an audit bill, which Stephanie can tell you about, that we tried to pass in 2020. April can tell you about it. We tried to get it in 2020. She was working for the president then. But we talked about it. And I said, we need to do this. People are like, what is this? Because people weren't talking about it. Nobody knew what it was. But I'm like, now, I'm not very forward-thinking on a lot of things. But I do try to pay attention. And so I said, let's get this done. Well, it got killed because of the COVID. So we weren't able to get it passed. Or we'd have had the audit after the 20 election. But we weren't able to. So if you'll look on here, you'll see we passed the audit bill in 2021. We've got it done. And if April and her teammates like the way that it's set up, then they'll pass another law to make it to go on indefinitely. But if they don't, they'll modify it. They'll change it after we give them the report that we're going to give them after the 22 election. So we already have a number. And Stephanie can give you an unbelievable list of all the things she does to make sure that our elections are safe and secure in Bibb County. But what we want people to understand, and look, the main thing I tell folks when they really have questions about elections is, what I really wish you'd do is just call Stephanie and say, I want to work the poll. And then go be a poll. She could use another poll worker, can't she?
I can.
So,
and also know that we can, and not to interrupt
no.
you, Chairman, but also when you referenced our testing, we publicly test, some of the machines. So there's always a public
test. And we do that in every county.
Every county. That's, as Secretary Rayl said, that's part of the law. And so anybody who's ever interested in knowing how our machines work, I mean, other than the time that you go and vote, but actually see how the testing process takes place and see that there's not a modem or it's not attached to you, you're welcome to come to the public testing because it's just that. It's for the public. So,
but everything we do is
we give notice. We give notice. We advertise it in the paper beforehand.
And it is where it's going to be, what's going on, the time. So everything we do is open. And so you can see it anytime you want. But really, you need to be an inspector instead of just a worker at the polls because you're so inquisitive and obviously so intelligent. So she can find a place for you.
I'm
I know
sure.
We're going to pay you $100 a day. But, you know, seriously.
Would
you
put you to work?
Oh, yeah, $125. Well, we gave everybody a raise this year because of COVID. So.
John, I've worked the polls underneath Stephanie, and I can tell you, they're tight. You don't show an ID, you don't vote. We have had, I remember one provisional that is questionable ID. We made them vote a provisional ballot.
Right.
And then they go with Ms. Pat and I.
That's right. And then they sit down with the circuit clerk, the probate judge, and the sheriff, and all the team, and they evaluate all of those provisionals to see where we are. So, okay, look, if you got any more questions for me, I'll be here till the last one leaves tonight, or you can call me. I just want to make sure that you all know that your questions are answered to your satisfaction anytime.
I want to make
go ahead,
one
Jeff.
More comment, if y'all don't mind, while you're here. Secretary Merrill, this group has heard me talk about and thank you before, but we've never done it publicly to you. But I just wanted you to know how much we appreciate the training that you and your staff provide to us. You have to deal with counties that have an election staff of 20 or maybe the judge is the entire election staff, and that has to be hard to accommodate, you know, to be able to train, you know, for us to be able to train. And also specifically, this is what our group has heard about before, we want to thank you and your office for the assistance that you provide us with the electronic poll pads, with our new auto expresses. You know our counties. You're from counties like this. You understand our needs, and we appreciate you always finding a way for us to sort of be on the same playing field.
Well, and let me tell you all this.
So
now,
it doesn't go unnoticed.
Because it's important to me. It's important to me that all of our counties be treated equally. And it's important to me that all of our counties be able to do what they're capable of doing. So are we giving Tuscaloosa County electronic poll books? No. Because they can buy them. They got the money. But Hale, Bibb, Perry, Macon, yeah, we're going to give it to them. We're going to help them. We're going to work with you. We're going to give you the express vote. We're going to give you what you need, because you don't need to be left behind or left out just because your county doesn't have as much. I mean, there's only so many cocking keys, okay? let's be serious. So we can't rely on every county to be able to afford everything at the same level. So we made an intentional decision that we're going to take care of our people, because I know how hard she works. I know how hard your commission works. I know how hard Jody works. I know how hard all your team works in order to make sure that things are done right and well. So we're going to take care of you when we can. And you're so kind to say that. I appreciate that so much.
John, the difference between you and the rest of the states is y'all have created a process that eliminates the ability to cheat at every stage versus other places that have intentionally created ambiguities to allow abilities to slip through.
Yes, sir.
You're right.
You're right. Ms. April, a minute.
I took all your time, April.
You just start to let us come in here to Bibb County, please, sir. We appreciate all the help you give us and look forward to working with you in the future. I have a very quick update tonight. As you know, we have a special session starting next Thursday related to redistricting, and I'll just give you a very quick update of what I know. I think I reported before that I told them that, you know, they were focusing on whole counties, and I thought for sure Bibb County was a great candidate to keep a county poll, and I have no reason to believe that Bibb County will not continue to be a county as a whole that's represented by Senate District 14. I've been told that it will be whole in Congressional District 6, in 49, House District 49, and with Ralph Howard's House seat 72, I think the lines are pretty much going to be right about the same, with the lower southwestern corner of the red boxes going toward Ralph and the other stuff going toward Russell. So I've been told to expect to be there a couple weeks, so if anything changes, I will certainly let y'all know, but I made a commitment to you that I would do my best to keep it as whole as I could, and I would be able to bring that home. Thank
you
all for letting me serve.
I'll give you some more time.
Jerry, I want to say one more thing about April before we're through. I know I did. And I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about April.
That's fine.
What I want y'all to hear me say is this. You know, we have this old saying that a prophet is often without honor in his hometown. But I know how much y'all love and appreciate it. But I don't know that you really know how much April is loved and appreciated and respected in Montgomery for the things that she can do, she's been able to do, the way that she has helped people, the way that people rely on her, and the impact that she's been able to make as a House member, now that she will make as a senator, because of her knowledge, her ability, her desire to work hard, and the initiative that she shows, trying to be impactful in everything that she does. And I can tell you that most House and Senate members are not that way. And that's one of the reasons that everybody loves and appreciates and respects her the way that they do. So I want to make sure that you heard that from somebody that doesn't live here and can't vote for her.
Ms. Stephanie, do you have anything you need to add?
I know we probably need to go, but I do want to just say one quick thing. We're having a crisis intervention training next week that I'm really excited about. This training started in the Huntsville area, but It's really for our West Alabama area out of the Tuscaloosa Police Department. Lieutenant Craig Parker has been training law enforcement officers for, I don't know, maybe a year, maybe longer. We've been lucky enough to send four officers up to this training, which helps them to engage with our citizens who are suffering with mental health challenges when they're out in the field. It certainly helps before they come or while they come to our mental health commitment court. And Lieutenant Parker has been working with our guys and has actually agreed to come down next week, and we're going to have a training in Bibb County. We're going to have three or four officers, but the rest of the 15 member group are going to be a cross-section of people from our hospital, AMSR, DHR, E911, so that everyone who touches with this population will have this same sort of level training. So that's something that we're really excited about. And I know I told y'all a couple of months ago about our scanning project that we're so excited about. I got word yesterday that that's going to start in November, and hopefully we'll be finished by, well, at the end of November. It's actually like November 30th when they begin. Hopefully that will be completed during the month of December, but certainly by the end of January. So that's all I have, and thank you for letting me tell you about it.
Thank you, ma'am.
Craig, real quick, I want to say thank you to the County Commission. I've thanked most of the members individually, but they did award us $5,000 for my family wellness court. We have grant funding through the state in the amount of about $25,000. That's primarily used for a caseworker and drug testing supplies. Let me back up real quick and tell you what this is. When I took office, we had the second highest removal rate into foster care in the state of Alabama. That was a big problem for me. Family Wellness Court is an initiative that is designed to provide heightened supervision for at-risk families so that the children either don't have to be removed at all or get back home faster. I think if there's anything that has crystallized over the last 18 months, well, there's quite a lot of things, but one thing is that parents should be raising their kids and the government shouldn't be telling parents how to raise kids. Now, there's some line where you reach where it's no longer safe for the children, but what our goal is to keep kids at home if at all possible. And this is a big deal. We started this in 2019. We got funding in October. Right about the time we got our wheels off the ground in January, well, then COVID hit. That shut everything down. We kind of limped through that, but now we're kind of rocking and rolling now. I meet with the parents individually, or collectively as a group, but they meet directly with me twice a month. That really makes a big difference in what we see in result-wise. I had 11 parents with me Tuesday. 10 of the 11 tested totally drug-free. I had one positive for marijuana. And I can tell you that 3 weeks ago, we had multiple methamphetamine use tests pop up out of that same group of people. It's important. It's working. I'm really excited about it. But just thank you to the County Commission. Thank you to Mr. Walt, who also made a donation. We are a 501c3. I'm not asking you for a donation because I'm not allowed to, but we can take it. And thank you to the Civil Press for their article on the Family Wellness Court.
Thank you, Craig. Call server.
Well, I don't have a group that much. We did pass our new budget. We passed it last week. And we were able to give the employees a little raise. I don't.
Thank you.
But anyway, we're glad we could do that. We're glad we could do the donation for you. We have met with the Sonny Bradshaw, ACCA director, on this money that's coming in to the county. We were small. We got $4 million. Tuscaloosa got one, I don't know, way up there. But anyway, you have to be careful. You have to meet. You have to. It's got to be spent on anything, or it's got to be related to COVID. We certainly can't afford to spend it on the wrong thing and have to pay it back, or we don't have that kind of money. But I attended the legislative committee conference in Montgomery last week. I had to leave a little early, I got sick, but anyway. Everything's going pretty good. We don't, overall, I think we're doing, or think we're doing pretty good as a county. The more money we have coming in, I'm always open to y'all got any questions, y'all got any comments. Feel free to call me. I know I don't always make the right decisions, but I try anyway. You know, I appreciate all the help that people have given us and working with us. Anyway, I can be of assistance to anybody legally, y'all let me know. That's all I have.
Thank you, sir. All right, I know there's one more person who wants to talk a little bit. Does anybody else have anything to, for the betterment of the country? Both Johns, we appreciate y'all being here.
I'm here.
April, we're proud of you too.
Sure.
I'm going to ask, if you haven't signed in, please sign in. Valerie's got to sign in thing back there, but I'm going to ask Lee Van Fleet, after he speaks to us for a second, to close us in prayer, please.
Those who don't know me, my name is Lee Van Fleet. Most of you know me. I've been in this county a long time. I plan on qualifying in January for school superintendent. I have 43 years experience in education. I've been a teacher, I've been on central staff, I've been assistant principal, and I think I'm the only one in the history of this county that's been principal of both high schools in this county. And so I'm not maybe your best candidate, but I am a candidate. So I'm looking forward to running, and I will tell you this, I'm a straight talker. I've always just shot from the hip. I'm also proactive. I plan for everything. I'm not reactive. I think we need to be more proactive with all the student rights problems we have right now, and also with the critical race theory. Those are issues that need to be resolved ahead of time, not after you give out magazines to the kids and that kind of thing. So I'll shut up now. I'll close this.
Can I say one thing before you finish? I'm going to say something, maybe get things thrown at me here, a Republican meeting. Effective government is best not people fighting against each other, Republicans versus Democrats, black versus white. It's when people work together on the right thing.
Amen.
Right now in Washington, there are two Democrats who are standing in the gap, who are trying to save this country from a bill that would alter the course of this country forever. And even though they're Democrats and we're a Republican meeting tonight, we need to pray for them because they are being assaulted. They are going through a hard time now to do what we as Republicans think they should be doing. So when we say our prayers in the morning and the night, think of Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin because they are fighting for ideals that we would hope they would do. And they're having a hard time.
Nobody's going to throw anything. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to come together to solve the problems and to help this country. We ask that you help those two Democrats continue to stand tall and continue to help save this country. We thank you for the many blessings that you bestow upon us, and we thank you for your leadings and guidance that you've given us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, we pray. Amen.
Y'all appreciate you coming. We'll do it again next week.
Good to see you.